members that are before us today. Because I believe that we're entering the most demanding time the world has ever seen. A time when the powers of darkness are going to come to their fullness, power, demonstration, and manifestation, and at the same time, manifestation in the glory and the power of God. When these two forces come together, I'll tell you what, the world is going to shake. Literally, the world is going to shake. Because God is going to work, and He's going to overcome these powers of darkness. But the scripture says, those that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits.
Amen.
So it's a time for us to be those who know God and know His grace and His power and His ability to sustain us and to keep us and to take us through the times that we find ourselves in. You know, the scripture says that in the mouth of two or three witnesses let every word be established. And I think we've had that confirmation here in the past few weeks concerning the refuge. And so if we had two or three witnesses for whom the Spirit of the Lord has worked and revealed these things, then we can say, amen, it is so. It is true. The part that we know concerning that is location. That is at least for part of the refuge, one of the refuges of God. There's certainly going to be more than one. This valley God has chosen to be an area of refuge for His people, location-wise. But there's more to refuge than location. There are conditions. Conditions that must prevail for that area and that the people in that area to truly come into the refuge that God will provide for His people. And I want to speak about that today. Conditions, some of the conditions at least, for that refuge to operate in the power of God and the deliverance of God, to see the arm of God move in an unprecedented way. We think and know that God worked mightily in the early church. But friends, that was the early rain. We're going to see the early and the latter rain. A double outpouring of the Spirit of God, because the hour will demand it. Conditions will demand it. That the power of God be manifested in His people in an unprecedented, powerful way to do all that He said. He's going to fulfill every word in this scripture. Things that the precious fruit of earth that the Father has looked for centuries, millennia of time, God is going to fulfill. And some of those, strictly to me, are absolutely impossible except God come forth and do it. And so there are conditions that must be met for the people of God to be a part of that work of God and to be not only in the right location, but to be in the right state of mind or heart and soul and spirit before God. Those that do know their God, that will be strong. In the book of Joel, probably all of us here are familiar with the second chapter, has to do with restoration. Peter quoted from it yet in the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost. And that second chapter winds up by saying, and I want to read the last verse, bearing in mind that this is all about restoration that God is going to do in the earth, even about the early and the latter rain. The last verse says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And we find throughout the scriptures this word remnant used as relating to the people that God, that will set out to go all the way with God And through whom God will work in this end time movement to finish his work, to glorify his name, and fulfill all the word of God. But he said that at this time, there will be deliverance in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, as the Lord had said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Understand? Draw a few things here on the board from time to time to help illustrate and clarify in our minds some of the conditions that must prevail for this refuge to work and for the power of God to be manifested in a way that the world has never seen. God's not going to just pour out the wonderful things of the glory of the kingdom of God on people that are unprepared, people that do not come up to his standard, that do not give themselves totally to him. It will be to a people who this remnant that the Lord shall call, who will give themselves without reservation, come under the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means under his complete authority. Mm-hmm. To love, to serve, to worship, and obey him. That I'm going to put here the place of deliverance. The remnant, that's what it said. There's other scriptures that we could go into to verify that, and I've got quite a few things I want to put on here to illustrate this. Won't have time to go into that. But this deliverance is called in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and this is called the remnant, Mount Zion and Jerusalem. Now, Mount Zion and Jerusalem in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, does not refer to that place that Revelation says where our Lord was crucified and likens it unto Sodom and Egypt. Not the location of the physical place, Mount Zion and Jerusalem, over in the state of Israel. It's referring to the people of God. The people that are born from their mother, from the Jerusalem which is above. There is the Jerusalem which is above, and then there is the Jerusalem which is here. We are members of the Jerusalem, of the Mount Zion of God, the remnant that God is going to work with. Now, Mount Zion in Jerusalem was a city within a wall. Walls about it. I'm just going to illustrate that by putting this like this. Let that indicate the walls around Jerusalem and Mount Zion. Just as it was physically, there are also walls around spiritual Zion and spiritual Jerusalem. Fact is, turn to Isaiah, the 22nd chapter. A couple of things here in Isaiah that specify things about this wall, about Zion. Let's see, Isaiah 26, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Bulwarks are walls of defense, ramparts are walls of defense to repulse the enemy. And so the walls will be salvation, call salvation. Now, we have the same thing in Isaiah 61st chapter, verse 18, 61-18. Violence shall no more hurt the land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, the thou shalt be. Thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. And so, Scripture names these walls as walls of salvation or deliverance. Salvation and deliverance. It's not talking about just the initial born-again experience, which many times when we say salvation, people immediately think of that one experience as comprising all that there experience of salvation. That's not suffering. That's the initial point of where our deliverance starts. It's not the end of it. It's just the beginning of it. And so these walls, God said, are walls of deliverance. And the gates, illustrated like that, gates, called praise. Those characters kind of talking about those today. Gates of praise. In fact, if you want to get in here, what does it say out there? Into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Praise is a very important part of the deliverance that is encompassed in within the walls. Now, the place where God is working with his people to perform and to perfect and to bring completion all that he has purposed in the earth is within these walls. This is the place where God works with his people to perform and perfect his will in their lives within these walls. These are the walls of our salvation and the walls of our deliverance. If we won't read it, but we'll just refer to it in Revelation 20th chapter, where John saw the holy Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. There are about 10 verses there. In fact, there's more verses there that refer to the walls of the New Jerusalem than they refer to anything else. First off, that Jerusalem has 12 gates. It has 12 foundations. The wall, it is four square. The length, the breadth, the height are equal. And it's 12 furlongs, this way, that way. And it says the walls were high, great and high. Mighty walls. Correct, tremendous walls. And let's see, the measure of them was 144. Everything related to those walls had the number 12 associated with it. 12 of the scriptures, as it is used, always refers to the government and the order of God. And so everything within these walls are controlled by the government of God, and it is according to the order of God that everything is carried on. That's why this thing will bring forth deliverance, because this is where the order and the government of God is working. And where that is working and functioning, there will be victory, and no enemy can penetrate these walls. These walls that's pictured here are so, they were so high and mighty that 10 verses were used to describe them in this New Jerusalem. And so the walls are very important for the functioning of this, really has been down through the centuries, but it is imperative in this time of restoration that the walls be restored. The walls of salvation, the walls of deliverance, be in place, and we be inside under the order and the government of God to see his deliverance brought forth. Now, the sad thing is that in 90 AD, before the first 100 years had passed, Jude wrote his little letter to the church. And he says it's expedient, it's necessary that I write to you that you earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So before the first 100 years had passed, they had already departed from the original faith that God had set up, the New Testament church. What do you think has happened in 2,000 plus years? Within within 100 years or less than 100 years, they had already departed. What kind of condition do you think the walls of our deliverance and the place of our safety and the place of our refuge and the place of our deliverance, what kind of shape is it in? Now, we were told by prophets many scriptures to read and to study. And two of those that were emphasized for us to study and to read were the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. Who knows what the book of Ezra and Nehemiah is all about? Ezra and Nehemiah in captivity were burdened by the Spirit of God for the condition of the walls of the city that were torn down. And they were moved by God to, and others who said the Spirit of the Lord raised up their spirit to return and to rebuild the walls that had fallen down. And you read about Ezra and Nehemiah when they went back there. That is the enemy, Sanballat, when he heard that they were rebuilding all the walls, he said, how are these weak, feeble Jews going to do get all these rocks out of the rubble? Everything's been burnt. The stones are covered up with rubble and rubbish. Judah even said the strength of the laborers is decayed, and there's so much rubbish we can't work. You think there's any significance in that to our day? Brother, we're loaded with rubbish. We're loaded with rubble. We're loaded with things that have come in that have kept the glory of God from being among His people. That's why we were admonished to read and to study this, because there must be a return to the original standard that God has set up. The walls must be rebuilt and encircle the people of God, because that's the place where God is going to work to finish His mighty work in this end time, within the walls. Now, just to show you, I'm going to maybe put a few things here that are issues or things that help us understand what this wall is all about. This wall of deliverance. And this won't be complete, just a number of things that I'm going to put that will show you things that we've departed from that God set there that are no longer there. It must be returned. First off, the kingdom of God. What was it Jesus preached? What was it the 12 preached? What did Paul preach? What did John Baptist preach?
Kingdom of God.
Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said in Mark 1:15, He said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Colossians 1:13 says that we have been delivered from the power of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of God. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. We're not citizens of this world. At least we should not be. We're citizens of a heavenly kingdom.
Amen.
Jerusalem is our home. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's our mother. We were born of our mother from Jerusalem, which is above. And God is calling us back, friends, to this manifestation of God's kingdom on earth. God manifests His King through Jesus Christ, ruling among His people, reigning among His people. I'm going to read there in Colossians. Let's see, this is Colossians 1. I'm going to begin with 12. I quote 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's what God did when He translated us into the kingdom. He said, I made you meet to be partakers of this inheritance of the saints in light, of the eternal realm of God, the eternal kingdom of God. Now, meat is a word that we don't use anymore in the context of that scripture. Meat is an old English word, and it means to be qualified, to be made fit, able, and sufficient for this work and this walk and this life, in kingdom walk and kingdom life and kingdom power in God. He's qualified us to be servants of the King, to operate in kingdom power and kingdom life, just like Jesus did, the apostles did, and the early church did in his beginning. Read the book of Acts, the first few chapters there, especially. That's a brief preview of how the kingdom of God should be in operation. Now he said in order that it should be operated. That's a whole, that's not only one subject, that's a series of subjects right there. Don't have time to do anything but just touch on it. But the kingdom of God has come. We're servants, we are subjects of the King. We're qualified to operate in kingdom power and kingdom life and kingdom triumph. Where do you see it? Where's that? That part of the wall is covered up with rubble. Here's a good one, very simple. 1 John, 5:8, said there are three that bear witness to the earth. It says the Spirit, the water, and the blood. That water is the Word. There's three that bear witness. The Spirit. You know, there's hardly any place in the world where these three operate together. Usually, people that believe in the Spirit, they don't even work. Many of them. We have the Spirit. I've heard people right here that came to visit and say, we don't need work. Spirit speaks to me. Why did he say that these three are his witness in the earth? The Spirit, the Word, and the blood. By the other token, people that are so strong in the Word don't think they need the Spirit. Dry as a bone. No life. And there's some. I read about a church, a large church in a large city, and it was a by name that you would know immediately. It's one of the major Pentecostal denominations. They were no longer singing about the blood. Because that's not the truth. We're sophisticated now. We can't. That's for somebody else. That's not for us. We might offend some of these higher class people that come in. And so these three have to work in concert. These three have to work together. Not isolated, but each one has to work in its function, because what the Spirit does is absolutely necessary, what the Word does and what the blood does. All work together, but they have different functions that are needed to bring the body of Christ to the fullness of deliverance that's for us. Talking about kingdom, let's put this here. Oh, brother, we just sang about grace, though. Grace of God, that's what is it? Law. You read a different book than that, dude. You read John 14. You want Jesus to be manifest in your life? What does it say? It said you obey him. Jesus said, then I'll manifest myself to you. Hallelujah. Not only that, I'm going to go back here, show you something in the Old Covenant that is astounding and wonderful. But since we're in the New Covenant, it's even greater. It's even better than that. Let's see. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Deuteronomy 28, beginning verse 1. And it will come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I have commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings of home thee in thy storehouses and all that thou settest thy hand to do. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. If that was true unto the old covenant, and now instead he magnified it, I tell you what, it'll be nothing but heaven on earth. It will be the manifestation of the kingdom of God and the king among his people in power and glory and in triumph and deliverance and in complete victory over all the forces that would come against us. They do not have a chance, because God himself will show up and will manifest himself. And we'll take the time to read it or think about that, but in Revelation 3, I believe it's 3:9, it says, because thou hast kept the word of patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which is to come upon all here to try them that dwell upon the face of the earth. If you obey me, I'll keep you from what's coming to pass. And this will be the place of your deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why is obedience fought? When it is such a pillar and such a part of the wall of salvation that God has set up for his people. Fear of God. Fear of God. Now that's certainly not a popular message. You read in the early church, the book of Acts, when God was manifest in purity and holiness and power among the people, that there was great fear. Especially when some people lied to the Holy Ghost. And God struck them dead. Hey, you mean we want that in the church? Look at what it said. It goes on to say that no man durst join himself there. Well, how are you going to get a man? God said the Lord had ordained to the church such as should be saved. 3,000 came in one time because of fear of God. The fear of God is clean, it's pure, it's the beginning of wisdom. If you don't have that, you don't even have the beginning of wisdom. Said that he will reveal his secret to those that fear him. Said his angel would camp around about them and deliver them because they feared him. Hallelujah. Where do you find fear of God in his church? The fear of God. I tell you what, the fear of God tends to holiness. Where do you see holiness? You see very little of it because there's very little of fear of the holy, righteous fear of God. Now, we're not talking about the kind of fear that we have naturally. We're talking about reverential fear of respect for God, for who He is, and what He has established, and full submission and eagerness to Him, the fear of God. Let's put this here. Unity. I tell you, that is a tremendous pillar, stone, foundation in this wall of deliverance, is unity. Didn't John say something to the effect that if we love our brother, there's no occasion? Is it stumbling?
Okay.
No occasion of stumbling? Praise God. Psalms 133 says, "For brethren dwell together in unity." He goes on to say that there the Lord commanded the blessing even life evermore. Jesus in John 17 prayed that they may be one so that the world will know He sent me. Maybe the world doesn't believe because they don't see it in a moment of this. They don't see the unity. They don't see the love that we're commanded to have for one another. Therefore, they don't believe on His name. He said, the world will know that I've been sent when you manifest the love one to another. We find rubble in place of this. Let's see. How about intercessory prayer? I'm talking about intercessory prayer. The kind of prayer that enters into the very heart of God. It joins with God in complete unity, in complete harmony. It is so in tune with God. And so, crying out his heart that God would deny himself if he didn't answer it, because it is as though he himself were praying. That's an intercessory prayer. Look here in Isaiah 52 or 62. Isaiah 62, number one, beginning verse 1, this is God talking. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. And Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as lamp that burneth. God's saying, I don't rest until this thing becomes a reality in the earth. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding. The Holy Spirit is here in the earth interceding. But you know it's not until the church intercedes that this thing comes forth. Hallelujah. When Zion travails, then she brings forth. Hallelujah. Those that enter into the heart of God to such a degree. You know the scripture, and I don't even know if I'm bold enough to read it or quote it. And it says basically, concerning my sons, command ye me. I believe that is where we enter so into the heart of God. We are so in tune with Him and so surrendered to His will and so bearing the same burden that He's burdened, that we can command things be done. Hallelujah. Because it is not us. It is the Spirit of God crying out through us in harmony with Him. And then it will move. These things will move. Friends, these are things that are absolutely essential. These are conditions that must be for the place of refuge and the place of deliverance to be a fact and a reality. When you start to think about it, this is one of the places. But you know they got satellites up above us, beaming down on us? Beautiful. Not only that, you've heard about these drone planes that they're using so effectively over in Afghanistan. I read that they're making and developing some that are no bigger than a bee. They're sending meetings, quiet out, and know everything's going on. So they're putting up more buildings over there, huh? Maybe we better stand in a big room and play that out. You see, we have to have. We have. This is the place of our deliverance. This is what's going to make this thing work. This is what is going to keep the powers that be and the powers of darkness that want to wipe this thing out. They'll have no power. They cannot penetrate these walls. They're too high and they're too great. Hallelujah. Because God is the center and God set it in order. And what can man do against what God set in order? And when people surrender themselves to God and work with His provision, hell itself will be overcome. Hell will be overcome. The devil and all his enemies will be overcome by the mighty power of God working in and through His servants. Let's see. This would be Thomas for authority. Jesus said, John the first chapter, he said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to those that received him, gave he power or authority to become the sons of God. You know, sitting here today, everyone who's been born again is a king and a priest. Do you know that as a king and a priest before God, you have a joint heir, a joint heir with the Creator of it all, Jesus Himself. Joint heir with Him. What belongs to Jesus belongs to your kings, the priests. Hallelujah. You've been given that authority to bind whatever needs binding on earth and to loose whatever needs loose on earth for the glory of God. You've been given that to operate in kingdom glory and kingdom power and kingdom deliverance. Look, God would have His people free. Oh, the Son is set free, is free indeed. We've been free from sin. We've been free from the power of darkness. We've been free from the world. We've been free from the old man. Now we have to take the authority and the power that belongs to us as the sons of God and begin to exercise that. I'm going to say these aren't doctrines, but I guess they are. I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about possession. I'm talking about being. Not just having a concept. I'm talking about operating in Christ Jesus, where it is not I, but Christ. Hallelujah. Where Jesus is manifest. Where Jesus' power and love, holiness, fear of God and beauty. Holiness is among us. There's many other things we put on there that are vitally important. Isaiah, again, 58. Isaiah 58:12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths of dwelling. Isaiah 61:4 says, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, hallelujah, and the desolations of many generations. That's where we're at. That identifies exactly where we're at and what we're called to. You see, God sent God, through Christ Jesus and the cross, provided everything that is needed. There's not one thing lacking that is needed to bring forth the fullness of the kingdom of God. The complete deliverance of the people of God. He stayed there. But through the centuries of time, the rubble, the trash, the other things have crowded these out. So that other things are working among God's people instead of this deliverance and this that will set us free. But you see, we're called to be those to repair the desolations of the generations. We're called to be those that repair these breaches that have been made in the walls. Well, the curse has come in upon us. Yes, the curse has come in upon us. We were delivered from the curse. Jesus took the curse to deliver us from the curse. Why should the curse of cancer be upon the people of God? It's an abomination. Because there's breaches. Rubbish. That stand in the way of the power of God operating. God's going to raise up some repairers. Some restorers, some intercessors, people who take authority, people who obey, believe, and accept the kingdom of Jesus Christ and all that He's provided. And the walls are going to be rebuilt. Hallelujah. The deliverance of God will again be manifest in the earth. Hallelujah. Friends, we're called to it right here in this life. We're called in this valley. A place where God wants to manifest this. Now it's up to us to submit to God, to yield to Jesus Christ under His yoke. That means under His complete authority. Under His rule. Under His order. So that these things will function in the Spirit. I think one more thing I might put up there. About a couple of things. Jesus said that He's given us His glory. His glory. John 17. Amen. His glory. His glory is ours. Amen. Isaiah 4 said His glory is our defense. Amen. Why would we not seek it with all of our heart? Why would we settle for that which is not glorious? That which is ugly. And defaming to our King and allow those things to work when His glory is there for our defense. Hallelujah. His glory. His presence is our glory. Praise God and He would fill us with His glory Himself. He said He's given us His joy. Brother Randall read about that today. Proud child! I'd like to see this roof light raised, at least these tiles here, by a unified cry and shout. Praise God. In Nehemiah, it says, these people that were rebuilding, and with all this rubble, and all these enemies that were trying to stop them, they said, the joy of the Lord was their strength. The joy of the Lord was their strength. He said what Reverend Randall said, you can take that joy and you can dip into the wells of salvation and bring up life. I'd like a good drop of life today, wouldn't you, from the wells of salvation? Joy, you know it. I see Brother Perry beginning to dip in. Brother Armando is talking about diving in. Praise God, it's for us. How foolish will we be not to take it and to enter in to all that He's provided. Let's be the storms. Let's be the terrors. The desolations are upon us, that's true. But thank God. Thank God He's called us to be restorers of this thing that He set in order. I think, getting back on Nehemiah, he said that as they were working on the wall, they were scattered. Here and there. Sending out the violent enemies, threatening to attack them to stop the work. Nehemiah said, I've got a comforter here beside me. He'll be with me. When you hear the trumpet sound, it's all come together. And we will stand in it together. In other words, they weren't going to be scattered anymore. You know, that's again a problem. We're scattered on the wall. I think God's going to raise up a trumpet sound. Sound the alarm in Zion! Blow the trumpet! To gather his people together in a unity of oneness in the rebuilding of this wall. And I think we're beginning to see it happen. I urge each one of us just to surrender completely to the Spirit of God. To let him work the work that only he can do. I tell you, these things are impossible. It's been right. Good people have tried this without, you know, doing it God's way completely. People with good intentions. Just like Abraham, with good intentions. He brought forth Ishmael. Enemies are perennial enemies. Forever enemies. With good intentions. Because he got out of God's order. God's called us to work in his order. And work together. Armed in unity. To see the walls of our deliverance reestablished. And say, glory to the Lord in this valley and throughout this valley to shine forth as a light and a testimony of what God has done and God is doing. And I tell you what, when people begin to see reality, I don't know if this valley holds. I really don't. There's nothing more attractive than the glory of God, is there? The glory of His presence. And to see people in unity and harmony, working together for not their agenda, but for God's. And as they do that, God's going to manifest Himself. The glory of the Lord will be among us. And we'll see that which the angels themselves desire to look into. The prophets of old, that is not for you. I believe it's for us. I believe the times and the seasons and things we see indicate it is for us. Let's rise up together, put our shoulders to the plow, let the Spirit of the Lord have His way, so we can see His manifestation of spiritual life, spiritual reality. The divine presence of God manifest among His people to set the captives free, to heal the bruised, the brokenhearted, to bring liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison for them that are bound. That's what God wants to do. As He always wanted to do that. But we stood in the way. I think in Hebrews there, it said, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned aside. That's our responsibility. You know, many of the lame are being turned aside because of what they see. They call itself the Church of Jesus Christ. It's time for that to be healed. It's time for us to be healed. So in turn, these who are lame can be healed. And that's our responsibility. We are the repairers. Through the Spirit of God, in our own Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God anointing us as we respond in obedience to Him. We are the ones who must execute these things. In obedience to the Spirit of God. That is our responsibility. We are the ones who must raise up these desolations and see the return to the glory of God. May God anoint each one of us to have that vision. It's about a vision of people perish. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Well, if you will, if you're not, you'll be